Hello, this is Pastor Alan Kane. What did the disciples do after the resurrection of Christ in that following week and weeks? Today's message is entitled 40 Days with Immortality. I hope God speaks to you.
Can you tell what I'm mimicking from this week? The hats at the royal wedding. Did you see some of those hats? That one woman looks like she had pink antlers. What was up with that? You know, hats go like this. No, in England they go like this. I don't.
Or you can wear
it on the side, yes, either one. Not anywhere normal. And they said, well, the reason is because the queen likes hats. And I thought, I'll send her one of mine. I got one that's fairly clean that I can send her. It's all bent just right, fit. She might like that. Start a new trend with a Dodge hat on or something like that. I sent out the devotion this week about the royal wedding. How many of you received that and got a chance to look at that? Okay. If you have email or not on the list, let me know it and we'll put you on the list. I was amazed when they announced in the news broadcast one day that they expected 2 billion people to be watching. 2 billion people. That's one-third of the population of the globe. No, not many watched that at my wedding. I don't understand that. The royal wedding. And I wrote that, not that I'm opposed to you watching that. I watch the morning news, and so I had to watch some of it. Of course, that's all that was Friday. They didn't have any other news, barely, so I didn't watch it very long. The funny thing was, they have a video clip of the queen falling asleep during the service. Amen. That went on a long time. Beautiful music, though. The royal wedding the Scripture talks about is that between the bridegroom of Christ and the bride, us as church. And I promise no one will fall asleep during that event. In fact, those who are asleep actually get to wake up when that happens. But as I ponder that, I thought, wouldn't it be great as we watch the chaos in the Middle East and it's coming apart, that every news organization would have their tent set up around the Mount of Olives where the Scripture says the feet of Jesus will stand one day? You know, all sitting around wondering if, you know, is it coming today? When will the procession start? And, you know, we're here to make sure we see it. And, you know, there's that one guy last week that set his tent up along the side of the road so it could be the spot to watch the procession come by. What if believers started camping out around the Mount of Olives and just waiting for it to happen? And then those 24-hour news shows could do all that speculation. You know, Revelation says that Jesus, when he comes, will wear a white robe, and written on it will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they can debate who is the designer of the robe. You know, what color will the embroidery be in? And will he be wearing one of these? Probably not. Be a crown. You know, the amazing thing is that as beautiful as a royal wedding was, probably especially compared to most weddings that take place, that wedding makes absolutely no difference in your life other than some moments of enjoyment watching it. But it doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change your life. It won't affect you. Your life isn't any different today from their marriage, and wouldn't have been any different if they didn't get married. It doesn't have any bearing on us. And yet 2 billion people are consumed to watch. And yet the marriage supper of the Lamb is coming, the bridegroom is coming for his church, and the world barely moves a muscle. And his wedding and his feast will change your destiny. It's a week after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And in Acts chapter 1, Luke, who is the author of this book, writes to Theophilus, a gentleman he had written to before in the book of Luke, and he writes another one. And he talks about the last few moments that the disciples had with Christ. And in there, he shares some information that I want to look at today. And I just want to remind you and try to get your mindset of what they were experiencing, the disciples, during these 40 days that they had with Christ. In fact, let's just read the first few verses of Acts chapter 1. Luke writes, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about that Jesus began to do all and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After he had had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to these he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in not many days from now. Let's just stop there for a moment. We begin to see here that Luke gives us some time frame. If you remember in my lesson last Sunday that Jesus fulfilled Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits 3 days in a row, three feasts, he fulfilled himself. Died on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, rose on first fruits. The next feast in that calendar is Pentecost. That is 50 days away. Now we find here that Luke tells us that he was with them 40 days and 3 days in the grave. So it's 43 days. We got 1 week left before Pentecost is when Jesus is taken up, a week before Pentecost. And so he leaves, and there's a week before the Holy Spirit comes and on the disciples, and they become the New Testament church, really, for the first time. But there's 40 days in there that they got to spend with not royalty. Well, yes, it was royalty, but it was a lot more amazing royalty because it was immortality and royalty. 40 days with a resurrected Son of God. They got to talk with someone who is now immortal through the power of the resurrection. And can you imagine what it had been like compared to the week before? Now, we're a week into this now. If we were them, it's been a week since his resurrection. And he's appeared a couple times already, and we've been in a locked room together as disciples, and he just appears in the room and talks to us, and his first words are, boo. No, not boo. He appears in the room, and his first words are, don't be afraid. Too late, you know. You just popped into our room. We're already there. We'll have to calm down. We'll be fine. But, you know, he appears to them and, look at my hands. Touch my side, Thomas. Take a look. I am him. He was at the beach and he got cooked fish. He cooked breakfast for him. And he's been appearing to them. It's a week into this. But they got 33 more days. 33 more days with them. This immortal Christ who is coming. Again, forever. But he's walking with them, doing some amazing things. And he says these 40 days. And I began to wonder, what is the significance of 40? Because 40 happens a lot in Scripture. And ladies, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it about 40 weeks, what, a gestation time for a baby? Or sooner, Valerie, right? Maybe. Hopefully. We want it out. 40 weeks is the production of new birth, new life. Now, if you look in Scripture, there's a lot of 40s. Can anybody name any of the 40s? 40 days of rain, night in April of 2011. Oh, wait, no. Noah's Ark, right? 40 days of Noah's Ark. Very good. Any other 40s? Jesus was tested 40 days. Wilderness for 40 years. Any others? We got all the big ones. Tempted for 40 days. Linda said that. Moses on the mountain for 40 days receiving the Ten Commandments. Elijah went on 40 days and one meal's food from the Lord without eating. Goliath opposed the nation of Israel for 40 days. You know, every day he'd come out and taunt the armies of Israel. Most of those 40 days were God trying to bring about some new things. On the mountain, bring the new word with Goliath to bring in a new king. You know, we got to 40 days of temptation. The 40 days with Elijah was a difficult time for him. 40 days of temptation is difficult. 40 days on the ark was bringing in a new world order, but it was 40 days of death and destruction. A lot of these 40s that were intended to be good came with very difficult times. And my wife brought this up to me last night. And I asked her if she wanted to preach, and she said no. She says, you can do that. But she says, the thing that strikes me about this 40 days of Christ, this is the first time that this 40 is healthy. It's like God is undoing all the difficult 40s before, whether it be 40 days, 40 weeks, or 40 years. And this was a new birth. In fact, these 40 days, one more week, and new birth of the new church comes. And so he spends his 40 days with them in immortality. And I'm sure his life was different. He wasn't facing the cross anymore. His spirit was lifted in a way that, you know, he had never experienced. And the disciples, their whole attitudes changed, that they weren't also facing that prospect. Now they're seeing the risen Lord. And you often wonder, and I said one of the greatest proofs that there really is a resurrected Christ is that every one of those disciples died for their faith. They let them kill them over Christ, except for John. He died of old age. Those guys would not have done that if they hadn't seen the resurrected Lord. And they spent 40 days with him, with this immortality. And Jesus tells them during those 40 days, it says he spoke about those things concerning the kingdom of God. Larry mentioned that in his the devotion for communion. It was 40 days of hope. 40 days of hope. They had had 3 years of great teaching, but some difficult times. People are out to get them. Now he's got the last 40 days he's going to spend with them, and he spends it in hope, talking about the things of the kingdom of God, the changing of this world order, that the dominion of darkness had been transferred through his resurrection to the kingdom of light. And so he talked to them for 40 days about the kingdom. It's coming, it's coming. And when it comes, no more death, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more troubles, no more Roman governments, no more beatings, no more crucifixions, no more cross, no more death or dying. None of those things. This kingdom is coming, and he fills these people, these disciples, with hope over and over again. 40 days, and he says, and here's the proof. You saw them kill me. You saw them bury me. And I stand before you now. And if I stand here and you are mine, you will stand here too. And for 40 days, hope, 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 eternity, life is coming. Kingdom of God is coming. And for 40 days, he invests this. And you can imagine their excitement. And you can imagine what their first thought was going to be. And in fact, they asked that question in just a minute. Is it now? You're going to do it now? But first thing he tells them here, and we see it in verse 4, 5. You've heard from me, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He tells them to wait. Read that. Oh, okay. Just wait here in Jerusalem. Wait. Wait until what was promised comes, the Holy Spirit. Just wait. You're going to be baptized. But just wait. You're spending 40 days with an immortal, risen Lord that you just seen dead. And it wasn't a resurrection like Lazarus, where he died again or would die again. This was a resurrection to never die. And he's telling them that all these kingdom things are coming, that I've paid for it. I got the keys to death and the grave. They're mine. I got the keys. We're going to be set free. And then he gets them, you know, he's in the locker room. This is what it is. And he says, okay, I'm getting ready to go. And, you know, all this is coming. We got power. And he told them, he said, you know, you're going to be able to tread on serpents and do all these things. And no one will harm you until, you know, unless I allow it to be. And you will heal the sick and raise the dead. And he's telling them all these things. He's in the locker room. Go, break. Now wait. What do you mean wait? He says, you got to wait, though, until you get the power. Wait until you get the power. Look at verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Can we do it now? He said to them, again, wait. It is not for you to know the times or the epochs or the seasons which your Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Wait, he says. You're going to do it, but wait until you get the power. He says, is it now? Is it now? Is it now? Remember what they shouted when he rode into Jerusalem before the crucifixion? Hosanna, save now. You're going to take the Romans out now? He says, not for you, no. It's interesting that Jesus tells them, again, don't worry about the when. Worry about what you have to do until the when happens. Does that make sense? Don't worry about when the kingdom's coming. Whenever it comes, it will come. But in the meantime, you got work to do. And that's why I bring this up today. You and I are still living in that period before the kingdom comes. And therefore, we're still under these orders from Christ. Wait until we receive the power. And once you receive the power, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That'd be like Lawrenceville, Springfield, Clark County, Ohio, and the uttermost parts of the world. Start locally, spread out a little bit, and finally whole Clark County or German Township, something like that. That's what he's talking about. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Your job is not to focus on when it's coming as much as it is what to do until it gets here. And he says, and that is to be my witnesses, to baptize them and to teach them, to bring salvation to them. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And those are the orders that we're under. We're still under that. The other important lesson here is that we need his power to get it done. The disciples would have had a disaster if they would have tried to start the church right then. They had to wait until they received the power. You and I receive the power. Scripture says we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism. But sometimes we quench that spirit, Scripture says, by allowing sin to stay in our lives. And maybe we're trying to do big things for God without getting rid of the sins that he wants us to cleanse. And there's a hindrance and we don't have the power that we need to get it done. That's why confession is so crucial. It sets us free with full power to be baptized in that spirit and have the fullness of his power. And we won't read it, but we know what happened when the power came. It came like tongues of fire said, and it split. And fire on each one over their heads. And they received and they began to speak. And everybody could hear in their language. It was an incredible time. And it was 3,000 people that day saved. Remember, Pentecost is a feast that celebrates the giving of the word of God and on the mountain when Moses was up there 40 days. That day, when Moses came down with the word of God, 3,000 people died because they had made a golden calf. And God destroyed about 3,000, it says. And on the day of Pentecost, thousands of years later, on the exact day, the word of God comes on these disciples. And it comes this time in the power of the Holy Spirit with the forgiveness of sins that Jesus brings. And the whole thing turns around. And about 3,000, Scripture says, were saved. Same phrase there in both. But it couldn't happen until they wait. To wait on God. Now, make a couple quick applications. First of all, there are things that you think maybe need to be done, but you can sense in your spirit that you're supposed to wait a little bit. Don't fight that. If the things aren't right, if the moment isn't right, maybe God is setting up the perfect time as he did the sending of Jesus. It says the fullness of time. Actually, the word there is almost pregnant. When the world was pregnant, in the right position, ready for something to give birth, he sent his son. And sometimes we need to wait on the Lord. Sometimes we need to wait on the Lord because we haven't dealt with our own sin, and those things are keeping the fullness of his power back. But the second lesson is we need to be his witnesses. You know, a witness is only required to tell what they know about the situation. A lot of people freak out about sharing their faith or being an evangelist of some kind or just talking about Jesus because they don't know what their teacher knows or what their pastor knows or what the guy on the radio knows, and they think, because I don't know that much, I don't want to start sharing my faith because they're going to ask questions that I don't have the answer to. Oh, welcome to my life. I don't have all the answers either. Jesus says, I want you to be my witnesses. A witness can only tell what they know. So all you're required is to tell what you know about what Christ has done for you. We're supposed to keep growing in that so we have more to tell. But you're only responsible to be a witness of what he's done in your life. And you start close. Start here in Jerusalem, he says. Start in your family. Start in your neighborhood. Start at work, somewhere close where you already have relationships built. 80% of all believers who come to faith and stay are brought to faith by friends or family. You know how many people come to faith in Christ and stay with Christ through big theater events or, you know, football stadium events, one half of 1% come to Christ through those events and stay. 80% come from family and friends who put their arms around them and invite them to church and talk to them about what Jesus means to them. And they have those connections and they stay and they grow in Christ and their witness becomes bigger because they know more about Him. We just celebrated the beating, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And that wasn't just about you. It was about you, but not just about you. It is sinful to take that and accept that and to be filled with the hope that brings and then not tell anybody else. Jesus says, here's what you do the week after, you know, this 40 days, this time after. Here's what you do with the fact that you're standing here with immortality. Here's what you do with that knowledge. You get going when you get filled with the power and you do something about it. You talk about it here, you move out and you talk about it there and move out farther. And pretty soon the ends of the world will know about the name of Jesus Christ because of you. It's got to start with you, though. Each one of us sharing our faith with someone. Look with me at verse 9. After he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on. And a cloud received him out of their sight, and they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going. Which makes sense, right? You don't normally see people float up into a cloud, do you?
No.
Okay, just checking. So, you know, that's what you would be doing. Wow, look at that. So they're all standing there like this. Jesus has just told them twice, don't worry about when he's coming back, those kind of things. I mean, we study that, but there's things to be done is what he's saying. So they're all standing there gazing. Look what it says. They're all gazing intently into the sky while he was going. Because, you know, they were hoping that he was going to send bombs back down on Rome. You know, we're going to watch that, right? Behold, while they were staring intently in the sky, was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, meaning saying the same things Christ had been saying, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? Remember, anytime that God, through his angels or Christ, asks a question, it's usually good to pay attention to it, you know. You know, we know the obvious answer. It's because Jesus just floated up into it. That's why I'm looking. But that's not what they were saying. Why are you looking at, why are you gazing into the sky? This Jesus who's been taken up into heaven will come in the same way as you've watched him go into heaven. In other words, you don't have to keep standing here waiting. Do something. Quit looking up and get to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria after you wait. We don't have time, but if you read on, it says they left there and they went back and they gathered together to wait, just as Jesus had instructed. And it says they prayed. They prayed and they worshiped and they spent time together. And they're making plans. They had to replace Judas, so they picked another disciple who had been with them and they got him into place, getting ready for whatever God was going to do for them. They were praying and praying and praying. And sure enough, on the day of Pentecost, their praying paid off and it all took place. And they started in Jerusalem. And it has spread clear to Lawrenceville by now and beyond. Looking up in the sky. So many Christians take last weekend for themselves, find their salvation, and they look and wait. And the angels and Jesus also say, quit gazing, get working. How many people do you know personally that you would say you have some kind of relationship with who you feel or know do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Scripture says that there is only one name under heaven by which we must be saved, that we can be saved, and that's Jesus. If they don't know Jesus personally, when he comes again like he went, it'll be a horrible day for them. Horrible day. Lake of fire, it says. Destruction. Do you really want to hear from them? Why didn't you tell me? From the negative side, but why don't we just tell them? I find a restaurant I like, I tell you. You tell me, please. It's a good thing. Oh, you got to go and try this. I'm excited about the hibachi grill that's coming to Kroger. I love the hibachi grill. I hope it's a good one. I'm going to test it out opening day, and I'll let you know how it goes. We tell things that is good news. If you went to work tomorrow, and on the way to work, you passed a gas station that was selling gas for 40 cents a gallon, would you tell anyone? I mean, after you got your own, would you tell anyone? Yes, miracles. I believe in them. Let's pray, shall we? Why wouldn't we? I'll tell you where you can save $3.60 or $3.75 on gas. I'll tell you where you can save. I'll tell you where you can live forever and how you can live forever right here. The immortality of Christ stayed with his disciples for 40 days, and his word to them is, quit gazing, and once you get the Spirit, get going. Tell somebody. I challenge you this week. Begin to think right now, and the Lord's probably already bringing names to mind. I know God, he's like that. I need to share my faith. Do something intentional about sharing it. That doesn't mean run in there, go into the cubicle and go, pow, and whack them on the head. Unless, of course, they're that type of person, they need that. Then you decide for yourself. Why not do something loving? Or just pray, Lord, if today's the day I need to talk to them about my faith, give me an opportunity to do that. Lord, bring someone in my way today that I can share where they can get saved. And see what God begins to do. There's one other thing I want to focus on before I wrap up this morning, and that is the phrase... They ask him, is it this time you'll restore the kingdom? And look at verse 7 again. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. If you have not underlined that, if you've been here a while, you probably already got that underlined or circled. Circle the word fixed. It's already been set. That day is coming. It's happening. God already knows when it's going to be. It's our job to share our faith as much as we can. They spent 40 days with immortality, and the church has been changed ever since then. We need to continue this on, to carry this legacy on, that the name of Jesus Christ will be known in generations to come, and it'll only be known through us. But who is it this week that the Lord has already told you? You need to become intentional about sharing your faith with them, because the day is fixed. It is coming.
You've been listening to 40 Days with Immortality, the ministry of the Lawrenceville Church of God, Springfield.